Test check. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, February 27th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmembers Costello and Fellows are absent tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Arnold.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Here. Thank you. If you would, please, in just a second, join us in the flag salute. The Arroyo Grande Valley Kiwanis Club is here this evening, and Chet Cash is with us, and also Madeline, were you going to come up as well? And if you would remain standing, Pastor Paul Jones, retired. I always get stuck on that word. Pastor Paul will be here for our invocation, so if you'd remain standing after the flag salute.
Over your heart, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will you please bow your heart with me? Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are challenged anew once again by the words of our first president, George Washington. In his farewell address in 1797, he declared, "Faith is absolutely vital to good government and strong leadership. A moral nation cannot be maintained without reliance on faith. Reality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Unquote. In this spirit, we pray tonight, teach each of us to be neither unresponsive are unconcerned toward our spiritual obligation and accountability. Help us daily to seek the Lord in righteousness and humility, being fully assured that God remains constant. He does no wrong, and he never fails. Help us to pursue God, diligently guarding our hearts, guarding our conversation, and guarding our behavior. May we walk daily in a manner that pleases God, for this will invariably produce new joy and fresh freedom. With a firm reliance on God, we wholeheartedly proclaim our national motto, "In God We Trust." You have honored us as Americans above all the peoples of the earth with prosperity and abundance and freedom and your watchful care. Never allow your goodness to us to lull us into complacency, but rather we would invoke your presence among us and invite God to be involved in our city and in our actions and the life of each of us as fellow citizens. You alone know all the matters that weigh so heavily upon our city council members and their support staff. So we pray for them tonight. Encourage each of them and their families by the infusion of your divine wisdom to understand that from God flows leadership and motivation and success. We invoke your eternal blessings upon their efforts to guide and lead our city according to your will and your purposes.
Thanks very much, Pastor. And don't sit down, Chet. Don't sit down, Madeline. You're not off the hook. We need an update on Kiwanis. So, okay, good. Thanks.
We have a number of programs ongoing in this club, and we're combining with all the Kiwanis clubs in the area to have what's called a Kiwanis Day that is used to support the youth in the community. This year, we'll all be coming together to work on a project in Grover Beach at one of the schools. We're involved in supporting the robotics team at the high school, Kiwanis Park over across the street. We are involved in highway cleanup once a month down on Highway 1. We have a team bowling tomorrow night. In fact, in the hotline bowl-a-thon, so we wish them luck. And we're involved in Solid Rock Ranch, both in funding and in working out there. Ruby's House has been one of our projects, and we continue to support that. and we're going to be working on Rio Grande in Bloom, which is a city project, I think specifically on Grand Avenue. And, of course, the Strawberry Festival is a time for us to raise money, so come on by our booth and get a strawberry daiquiri or a cotton candy and to help support all these things.
So this evening we'd like to celebrate the life of Billy Swaggart, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. Billy was probably single-handedly responsible for what you see at Nelson Green right now, with the exception of the gazebo. That was her project, her pet project, I should say, and took it from a dirt lot to what you see today, which is a lovely landmark for our city. I remember every time we discussed historical issues during a council meeting, I would go home and there would be the final word from Billy on my answering machine at home. And I think we'll all miss her. In fact, I know we will. So with permission of the council, I'd like to dedicate this evening's meeting and also adjourn it to honor the memory of Billy. So, okay. That takes us to 5A, which is a presentation by the Coastal San Luis Obispo Resource Conservation District, and the awards are for Conservationists of the Year 2006, and I would invite Neil Havlick from RCD and also Ella Honeycutt to join me at the podium, and I get to participate.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the City Council. I'm Neil Havlick, president of the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District. Our district was formed and in our field of operations. We still think of the Arroyo Grande Valley as home. We continue to hold a strong interest in the health and vitality of agriculture in the Arroyo Grande Valley and surrounding areas. We're also aware of the pressures that agriculturalists can be under and that the temptation to just sell out can always be there. That is why we were so impressed with the recent event in Halcyon, and that is why we are here tonight. We wish to recognize the Temple of the People in Halcyon and Ruti's Family Farms for their commitment to sustainable agriculture in our county. The temple was being urged to convert certain lands that had been in agriculture for many years to other uses due to proximity of residential land uses. They determined, however, that they wanted the property to stay in agriculture, and so they partnered with a local organic grower, Ruti's Family Farms, to take over cultivation of the tract and continue the site's agricultural uses. This kind of commitment often goes without notice, and we wanted the City Council and the citizens of Arroyo Grande, who strongly support retaining agriculture as a welcome and important part of the community, to be aware of this small but important action and to recognize those who made it happen. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, and citizens of Arroyo Grande, I would give you the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District's Conservationists of the Year, the Temple of the People in Halcyon, represented by Ms. Eleanor Shumway, and Ruti's Family Farms, represented by Jerry Ruti's. Eleanor and Jerry, would you please come up here? And Mr. Mayor, I would ask you, as the city of Arroyo Grande is the district's...
It's been a pleasure to meet Mr. Ruiz and Eleanor Shumway because they are farming a 20-acre parcel, and it's a local food supply. They do not ship the vegetables out of the area. It's for local consumption, and I feel they need to be honored because it's a wave of the future. Eventually, we will have many more small farms. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and Neil... thanks for allowing me to do this. It is indeed a pleasure for us to recognize those who indeed and in turn recognize the importance of agriculture, and we certainly do support maintaining productive agriculture in our city. So with that, Jerry and Eleanor, if we could get you to come around here, and it'll be my privilege to present these plaques. And Eleanor, this is a beautiful plaque, by the way. Excellence in Conservation, Agricultural Conservation Award is presented to the Temple of the People, Halcyon, by the Coastal San Luis Obispo Resource Conservation District, 2006. My pleasure to present this to you. Thank you. Jerry,
thank you.
Good to see you. Excellence in Conservation again. Award presented to the Rutiz Family Farm by Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District, 2006. We really like what you're doing over there.
Thank you.
Taught here, and this is part of my home, that it's nice to be included. Thank you. I believe in what we're doing.
I want to thank you for the award, and I want to express my gratitude to Eleanor and the Temple of the People for inviting me onto their land, their Halcyon, and letting me farm. I also want to thank the community, the immediate community around the farm there at Halcyon, were very instrumental in inviting me on there, onto the property and to farm, and giving me the opportunity to grow the food and hopefully supply our community with some good food and flowers and fruits. And I want to also take the moment to ask for the support of the community in what we're doing. Support as coming to the farm and supporting us with purchases from our farm products. It's not just me that I'm concerned about. It's I think that the type of farming that we're doing there is going to be what you're going to see as a farm of the future if you want to see farming continue in a urban-rural interface. And I know that the City Council and the city wishes, I believe, to try to preserve some of the farmland close into the city here at Gar's farm. Thank you.
Jerry, why don't you tell us how to get to you? It's okay. Never miss an opportunity for marketing.
Okay. The farm is located on the Pike. It's at 1075. The Pike is the entrance. And it's at the corner of the Pike and Elm Street. Not exactly at the corner, because at the corner is the Halcyon Cemetery. But we're just a little in from the corner there. And I happen to have some brochures, which I will leave on the table. So if anyone might be interested. And again, we really appreciate any support from the community. And we'd love to have you all come out and take a look at what we're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. We really appreciate having the opportunity to come and do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that takes us to 5B. And this is an honorary proclamation declaring March 2007 as Grand Jury Awareness Month. And I would invite Mr. Myers, Robert Myers, right here.
Right here. I'm joining on this month.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's my pleasure to present this proclamation to you this evening. I'm going to read it.
Thank you.
Put it on the other side here.
Tell me everything I need to say if you need that. So that's good.
Okay. Whereas the civil grand jury consists of a panel of 19 citizens, which serves the citizens of the County of San Luis within the geographic limits of San Luis Obispo County, including public-private transactions. And whereas the grand jury is granted subpoena powers that extends to records, persons, and entities, and parallel powers to undertake independent investigations and issues public reports detailing the results of these investigations, and to function as a completely independent, autonomous body. And whereas the grand jury, in a large measure, relies upon public awareness and responsiveness of the public to its public reports, which detail its findings and recommendations. And whereas it is believed that the public awareness of the grand jury's function and purpose can be furthered by governmental declarations of awareness, now therefore be it resolved that I, Tony Ferrara, mayor of the city of Arroyo Grande, on behalf of the city council, do hereby proclaim March 2007 to be Grand Jury Awareness Month in order for all citizens to become better acquainted with the purposes of the grand jury, to give attention to the grand jury's public reports, and to encourage public participation in the grand jury process. It's my pleasure to present this to you tonight.
Very kind. Thank you, Mayor. Sure.
Thank you.
And I just say a few words?
You bet.
My assistant.
The microphone's all warmed up for you.
Thank you. I'm here sort of by default this evening. Usually a seated grand jury will come forward and accept the proclamation, and it's appropriate that a seated grand jury come forth to receive these proclamations, because they're the ones that's actually doing the work at the time. My job is done. I was a juror in 1997 and 1998, and I thoroughly enjoyed the work. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I recommend it to any citizen that's looking for some way to serve their community, to inquire into being a grand jury to do its job. It has the power to subpoena witnesses, power to subpoena documents, the power to hold hearings under oath, and the power, after it has done all this investigative work, to then issue reports delineating its findings and require that the various entities that it's investigating respond. And then these reports, I'm sure that people here have seen these reports. They are then published in the newspapers and circulated amongst the population. This is the way the grand jury functions and how it happens and how it actually does good things. The grand jury's main function is to guard the public interest by evaluating efficiency, honesty, and responsiveness of local government and its agencies. And as a former grand juror and a grand juror for associate since 1998, I can report that the grand jury in your county has done a good work and is well respected by government and by the people it investigates. And like a good cop on the corner, it's also effective just because it's there and has the power to do investigation work. And in closing, I'd like, on behalf of the seated grand jury, the former grand jury association, and the state association, who acts as the watchdog in Sacramento to guard the public interest of the grand jury, thank this board, this council, for your proclamation and for your reading the proclamation to the audience and the audience at large. That this is one way we hope to reach out to the grand jury and get citizens like the people.
All ordinances presented tonight be read in title only, and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That takes us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the audience to come forward on items that are not published on this evening's agenda. If you have any suggestions, recommendations for the council, please feel free to come up to the microphone. Please be aware of the 3-minute rule, and please address the council as a whole. And once again, these are items not published on this evening's agenda. Anyone would like to come forward? Okay. We'll close community comments and suggestions, and that takes us to item 8, which is our consent agenda. If you have a copy of the agenda this evening, we are addressing consent items 8A through 8F. This is normally a group of items that the council approves in one motion, unless there is a specific item on the consent agenda that a member of the council would like to pull for further clarification or an independent action. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on items on the consent agenda. And I would ask that, once again, you be mindful of the 3-minute rule. Please address the council as a whole. Any member of the audience that would like to come forward and make a comment on items 8A through 8F? No one? Okay. We will close the public comment on the consent agenda.
I guess sent out to all the other agencies so that maybe one agency might have something that another agency might need.
I'd like the Director of Public Works to answer that.
We do contact everybody in the county. We contacted OCSD. We contacted Pismo, who was going to join us this time. Grover didn't have anything, and we even go up to Morro Bay. So we do contact all the other agencies to see if they would like to participate.
How about internally? Do we show the other departments what's on the surplus list so that if they needed a low-end computer, as I assume all these computers that we're getting rid of are very ancient, but is there any way for anybody in the internal within the city itself to say, hey, I could use that instead of actually having to go to our auction and buy it?
The staff report's made available to everybody. As far as the computer goes, you know, we have that one central computer guy that pretty much knows what everybody needs. But as far as the other items, like the vehicles and whatnot, they're pretty much made available to everybody in the city. So, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8F.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Anything in there to read this evening, Tim?
No, Mayor Ferrara.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Takes us to item 9, our public hearing this evening, consideration of adoption of a resolution approving the community development block grant projects
for elimination of slums and blight or to address urgent community needs that threaten the public health or welfare. So far this year in this process has been a needs assessment workshop that took place in September. There was a city council public hearing in December where you made draft funding recommendations for year 2007. After that, in February, we held another needs assessment workshop. It's important to note that there was no specific comments about the draft funding recommendation other than thank yous from the applicants. On the screen behind me, for your reference, are the proposed 2007 allocations broken up in categories from public services to public facilities, those that benefit one specific area and administration of the program. With that, staff recommends that the City Council adopt a resolution approving community development block grant funds and projects for the year 2007. And I'll leave this up on the board for you.
Okay. Jim, could you reach around and slide that light switch down there, cut that center bank of lights?
Okay. It's up there.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Any questions for Jim? This is something we've seen already. Okay. You had a question?
No.
Okay. This is a public hearing. If there are members of the audience would like to come forward on 9A, this would be an opportunity.
My name is Anna Boyd-Busey from Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we'd just like to thank the council for the generous allocation and staff for the recommendations.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else would like to come forward?
My name is Carol Wetmore, and I'm representing Caring Callers this evening, which is a program with a community program of Wilshire Foundation, and we wanted to thank you for your support of Caring Callers, which gives support to the frail and socially isolated individuals in San Luis Obispo County. Currently, the program has over 100 clients, with 17 of them being in the city of Arroyo Grande, with a handful waiting, of course, to be helped. We're always looking for volunteers for our program. The third week of March, we anticipate to be distributing these disaster kits to our clients, which contain safety, first aid kits, different things like that, along the lines of disaster relief for approximately 3 days.
And finally, we appreciate your support. And with the money, we are anticipating to use it for a three-day water pack to be included with our disaster kits to be donated to the seniors. We appreciate your past, present, and future support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Sherry Neal with Life Steps Foundation, Drug and Alcohol Free Living Center. I wanted to thank you on behalf of myself and all the clients that we have there for your support. Once again, I would like to invite anyone that would like to come out and visit the facility and see what we're doing out there. You'd be welcome. And we have five graduates getting ready to graduate right now, coming back into the community, all thanks to people like you that has helped fund this. So thank you very much.
Okay. Where again are you located?
I can't give the exact location except Aurora Grande and San Luis. We have facilities both places. Call me for how to get there.
Okay. See, there's an invitation, but no place to go. So that's...
Yes, you can call me, and I'll give my number now, or 471-1472, or you could. Life Steps Foundation is also in the directory assistance in San Luis.
Okay, so. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Ray Fleming with EOC Health Services, and I want to thank you all for your support, not only of our programs, but the other programs this evening, for your ongoing support of our low-income and underserved people in the community. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion of 9A, bring this back to the council. Councilmember Guthrie.
As I said at the last meeting, I'm in concurrence with staff's recommendations here and can support the resolution this evening.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
I, too, was very pleased that we were able to fund so fully all the requests, so I can go forward as recommended. Thank you.
Okay, I'll make it unanimous. Appreciate the staff report, Jim. And with that, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande approving community development block grant CBDG projects for the program year 2007.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you. We have no continued business, item 10. Item 11 is new business. 11A is consideration of a proposed ordinance amending portions of Chapter 12.16 of Title 12 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code relating to community tree program. Good evening, Doug.
Good evening. Mr. Mayor, City Council, it's a pleasure to be here. You have before you a recommendation to introduce an ordinance amending portions of the Municipal Code, which includes revisions to the community tree program. Recently, it's come to the attention of staff that the existing ordinance does not address replacement of regulated trees that die due to disease or other circumstances. In general, the recommended ordinance amendments define a dead regulated tree, require a tree removal permit to remove a dead regulated tree, and requires planting of replacement trees from the approved city tree list unless the Parks and Recreation Director decides it's unnecessary. And with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Pretty straightforward, two paragraphs, right? Okay.
That's great.
Any questions on 11A?
No question.
I just had one quick question for Ted.
Okay.
There's one. One of the paragraphs we're adding actually talks about if the Public Works or not Public Parks and Rec decided that there was a reason why we wouldn't have to replace the tree, we could allow that. And the question that I asked of Steve earlier, which I imagine he passed on to you, was can we require that there be a fee paid instead for that tree or have the tree placed somewhere else in the city? And my thought was kind of like we're doing now with the undergrounding of utilities where there are cases where it doesn't make sense to try to do that, but we have a fee instead so that maybe we can continue to add trees elsewhere.
Currently, we don't have that provision included, but it's an excellent idea, and I would suggest that perhaps we go back and retool it so that we would have that provision. But No, unless it's actually sitting in here in the ordinance, we wouldn't have the ability to assess a fee in lieu of the tree itself.
Okay, and that's what I was getting at. I didn't think tonight it would be done, but I want to throw it out for the future.
We'll definitely pursue the idea.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Since you received all those laudatory comments from the city attorney, is that something that you would agree to or concur with?
I would concur. I think that would be a good addition.
Okay. This is not a public hearing, but if there are members of the audience who would like to come forward and comment on 11A, we would give you an opportunity to do so.
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I wasn't going to have any comment until this was just brought up about a fee or planting another tree. My only concern with that would be if we're making a property owner who has a dead oak tree that falls within the live oak, coastal live oak, that is a protected tree, no matter whether it's on the streetscape or in private property, that if the Parks and Rec decides that that tree shouldn't be replaced on his property for whatever reason, that then you would make them plant a tree on someone else's property. We'd be taking a tree off of private property and requiring them to plant a tree on other private property or on public property, and I'm not sure that's what we should do. Or charge a fee for that matter. And if it's on private property and it's determined by the city that it shouldn't be replaced. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment on 11A and bring this back. And let's see. Why don't we go ahead and start with you, Jim?
Well, dealing with the fee first, I guess assume based on the conversation that there would in fact be concurrence between the property owner and the city that in fact the tree wasn't going to be replaced and that was their choice, that they would pay the fee rather than locate the tree, I'm going to say, somewhere else on their property. I think it related specifically to that there was a problem with the location of the tree and there was nowhere else to plant the tree then, or nowhere else that the owner was willing to plant the tree, then in fact that would be when the in lieu fee would kick in. That it wouldn't be that the city would walk in and say, that tree's dead, we don't want a tree here, put one over there. That's why I understand it. So there would at least, I don't know if you have to put that in the language, that if the property owner and the public parks director agree that the tree can't be relocated on the property, then that's when the in lieu fee would kick in. That's the way I heard it. I don't know if that's the way it was said or not. But
why don't we let the mayor pro tem elaborate even further?
You did a wonderful job of explaining my thought. Yeah, I'm not looking to go in and condemn trees on private property. My thought is that if we have trees that the owner doesn't want to replace, that instead of losing trees in the city, we could then keep the same number and they would just be relocated elsewhere. So that was my thought. So
maybe I can provide a little bit of additional clarification, because I think the situation, the reason we're including this language is in almost all cases the city would require the tree to be replaced. The only reason we incorporated a little bit of flexibility in there is on rare circumstances there may be an instance, for example, sometimes you have so many trees in such close proximity, it's actually better for the other trees if you don't add another tree in. So really the only instances where staff would recommend that it not be replaced or not require it to be replaced would be where the staff agree that it's actually better not to have a tree there. Or there isn't a need for a tree there. So there is some concern there, maybe whether it would be appropriate to charge a fee in that case when it's determined that it's really not in our benefit to have an additional tree. But,
and that may be a discretionary thing even when we were okay, – I understand totally. I know that when you have young trees, you plant more potentially and then you call them as they grow. So that would be a very logical example where you wouldn't want to use it. So you can have fun with that or idea, and it's not critical. I saw that, and I didn't know how often it was used, and so my thought was I don't want to see us just wholesale saying, let's not replace them. So that was my concern. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I have no problem supporting the recommendation with the additional language. But once again, I think you bring up a good point, Steve, and I would want to make sure that if staff did exercise discretion in instances that you've described, and it's in everyone's best interest that we not replace the tree, I don't think a fine is appropriate or a in lieu fee is appropriate. So we'll see what the language looks like when it comes back. Okay. Okay, what do you want to do with this tonight? You want to recommend? Is there enough here to go forward?
We could just go forward with it, and then we come back at a future date with the with the potential
additional language.
Because I sort of see the
okay
manager's point that I'm not quite sure it's application now. But.
Yeah. Okay. Who would like to try a motion?
Propose it. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose an ordinance to the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending portions of Chapter 12.16 of Title 12 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code relating to the Community Tree Program. That's it for now.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Takes us to 11B, which is our consideration of fiscal year 2006-07 mid-year budget report. Good evening, Angie.
Good evening.
You're earlier than you
I
normally
know.
Are.
I was looking at the clock. I think this is the earliest I've ever been up. But somehow I always clear the audience. Yeah. Guess I'm not exciting. I'm pleased to present the fiscal year 2006-07 mid-year budget report, and I'd like to take a moment to briefly discuss some of the key points. First, the beginning general fund balance reported at June 30th, 2006 was $2.4 million, or 19% of appropriations. Second, the projected fund balance for June 30th, 2007 is approximately $2 million, or 15% of appropriations. This projected fund balance assumes that revenues are received exactly as budgeted and budgeted expenditures and transfers are completed. Since this is not always the case, we expect to be close to the 20% fund balance at year end. General fund revenues increased by approximately $104,000 compared to the prior year. However, expenditures increased by approximately $488,000. As you can see, maintaining revenues to meet expenditures is still becoming a challenge. Total general fund revenues for the first 6 months of the year are at 36% of budget. This is below the 50% mark for several reasons. The current sales tax revenue only includes 4 months of tax receipts. As of today, this revenue source is at 46% of budget, and this drop is due to a decline in auto sales and building and construction. I'll continue to monitor this line item, and the third quarter report will probably be reducing the sales tax. The property transfer tax has dropped due to a decline in home sales. Building and permit revenues are down. Reimbursement for the school resource officer and crossing guards had not been received by the mid-year report. The city has not yet requested a refund from our excess insurance fund. And triple flip payments that apply to the first half of the year, which are approximately $1 million, were not received until January. Had all these revenues been received in the first half of the year, total general fund revenues would be at approximately 50% of budget. With half the year complete, general fund expenditures are on target at 46% of the budget. Finally, the approved sales tax increase will take effect April 1st. It is anticipated that the city will receive approximately $350,000 for the months of April, May, and June. The Board of Equalization has indicated that their one-time startup cost will be approximately $100,000, and the remaining funds are being recommended for the Newsom Springs Environmental Review Project, Creek Ivy removal, Police Department Expansion Feasibility Study, East Grand Avenue Micro-Surfacing Project, Briscoe Road and Farrell Avenue Rehabilitation Projects, and sidewalk and street improvements on Pool Street. This concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions on the report? Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you. I just had one. On the franchise fees, I was wondering if we've looked into how what's happening at the state level with the telecom. How's that going to impact us? If it is going with Charter, if they're going to come back for a renegotiation, or if the franchise fee at the state level is going to be pretty similar to what we have at the local level?
I reviewed that and talked to the city attorney about that today. It looks like it's going to be similar if they go with the state franchise. We receive 5% right now from Charter, and the state is saying they would also be 5%. The city attorney may have something to say. I'm not sure, but he was saying that the main thing was that we're going to lose the control that we have now as a local entity because it's going to the state level, and they'll be the ones that are controlling the customer service, things like that. And he might can expand on that a little bit.
Will we be losing control on Charter as well, or only on the phone side?
If Charter chooses a state franchise, we'd lose a lot of the local control that we have under our agreement, because our agreement would no longer be the guiding tool, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it's written. Financially, I don't think there should be much of an impact.
But that's if they choose to go with the state, correct?
Right now, they have not chosen. They're still under the franchise agreement. But if they can opt to get a state franchise, and Angela's right, that shouldn't have much impact on the city financially.
Will we see actually a financial gain, or will Charters, will they have to pay? I guess I'm a little confused on the 5% is based on what, the number of subscribers they have?
Gross revenues.
Okay, so in theory, they'll lose. In theory, there will be no, unless a few extra people sign up, theory, some people will switch, so it'll stay the same. Okay, that was the other question. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Councilmember Guthrie? Yep.
My question relates to the new sales tax that we're collecting starting April 1st. Historically, it seems like we collect these about 6 months later. So we won't actually have any of this money until January of 08, roughly.
The April revenue will be received in July, and then May is received in August. So it's basically 3 months behind. For instance, we haven't received December yet. We'll receive that in March, so we'll be able to see. And that's kind of why I wanted to wait till the third quarter to see if the Christmas sales kind of help us out a little bit. So we're always 3 months. And what we do at the end of the year when we close the year is we recognize that revenue and put it into the current year. So it will be in this year. It'll just be as a journal entry, a bookkeeping. But the actual cash will be received in the new fiscal year. So you're correct.
So we'll be receiving the money, but we will actually book it in the year before.
Correct, because it's money that actually was earned in this fiscal year, this current fiscal year.
Remembering something that the auditor did that we had done that and they forced us to move it. I guess that was the triple flip money, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's been some instances where they've actually said no, you need, or if we receive something too far out, the auditors will also ask us to not make an entry for it because they say longer than 90 days you don't have to recognize it in your current year. So
all right. That was my only question.
Okay. Angie or Steve, I was going to cover this a little bit later on in the council reports, but I wanted to ask and make sure that we have Briscoe Halcyon covered in terms of engineering, and because they've got us listed now in the STIP categories as doing the engineering and that's required just prior to the construction phase. I want to make sure that we have whatever revenue or monies are necessary to continue this and get us poised for, hopefully some STIP funding. So is that already in the budget, already accounted for?
The stage we're in right now is still completing PA and ED, and that's fully funded.
Okay.
If you remember at the last council meeting, we talked about budget goals for 07-08, and engineering and design was one of our budget goals that will ensure that the engineering and design will be fully funded within the next fiscal year.
Fully funded or completed?
Well, PA and ED will be completed, and then we'll begin design, so we'll fully fund design. It'll probably take longer than the fiscal year to actually complete the work.
Okay. All right.
I think
anything
it was...
else?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Once again, this is not a public hearing, but Mr. Ross, any comments on the budget? Okay. All right, we'll bring this back to the council. Councilmember Guthrie. You get to go first every time tonight.
You got it, I know, that's right. It's my only choice. Well, I was going to say that this is actually it's a very complete but somewhat boring report this time, which is probably a good thing. Well, not probably a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. I do have some concerns going forward. I agree with the sales tax revenues and some of the revenues coming up a little because we are so close to the edge with what I'll call the operational side of our program that maybe we were almost a little too focused on the fund balance and not really focused enough on some of the operational versus capital projects issues. So as I've told staff, I would like to see in the next report that we have some fairly specific breakout on where we are with the various capital projects so that we're constantly moving the money into the next year to cover the capital projects that weren't completed this year. So I just want to be sure that although the fund balance is certainly held and going, that's important, that in fact we're still set operationally to stay within within current revenues. But I can accept the report as presented and a good job in a tight situation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to also compliment on the report. It's a very good report. As I have said every time, I think, is I'm a little concerned with the property tax. I still, when I'm watching sales now and stuff, I know we had some pretty good projections still going forward, and I was glad to see that they're actually holding up as of so far. I think we're going to definitely have to be concerned with that and with sales tax, and then we're seeing it already in building permits too, which I think is going to trickle down through again with consumer purchases and everything else. So I don't envy any of our jobs when it comes to the budget because I think it is going to be a tight year. But I do commend you on the report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The only thing I can add once again is that, we had our sanitation district meeting and we were going over budget projections as well. And I think what a lot of people are seeing right now, particularly in those areas like ours, when, as we begin to approach build out and given the housing market, and we're having to compensate, and we have with some of our rate adjustments with connection fees not being where we thought they would be. So I think those kinds of things are taking a bite out of many municipal budgets these days, and so becomes even more of a challenge for the future to perhaps take a fresh look and make those budget projections realistic given our situation, which you've done, and great job on the report, Angie. So, okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose that we accept the fiscal year 2006-2007 mid-year budget report as presented.
There was a motion. Is there a second?
Just a question for staff. Do we have to approve schedules A and B as well? Can we include in the same motion? Okay. If you'll amend that to include approving schedules A and B, then I'll second it.
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem, Vice Chair Arnold?
Yes.
Council Board Member Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to 12A, council reports. I'll go first. SLOCOG met on February the 7th, and the exec board met on February the 14th. I attended both of those meetings. Once again, ongoing discussions regarding STIP funding in the next two cycles. And Steve, I think I mentioned this to you, and I'm trying to kind of salt this on both ends. But we desperately need to have that coordination meeting with SLOCOG and Public Works and hopefully Caltrans. And I've spoken to Rhonda Carley about this as well. And so I think what they were going to do was get a hold of Don. But, I'd like to get that meeting together to discuss to revisit our alternatives. So that we, there aren't any pauses as we move forward with this in terms of selecting alternatives and as we begin to verge into design. So is that working on our end right now?
I know they were working on it. It got scheduled and canceled, but I will tomorrow make sure it gets scheduled immediately.
Okay. I would like to attend that and invite another council member to join me. I don't know who might be interested in doing that.
When's the date?
No, whenever they schedule it.
Sorry, I was actually...
Any interest?
Hey, let him go. No, you can go.
Okay. And perhaps Councilmember Guthrie can join me. And then hopefully out of that, we can come up with some, you know, realistic projections and get this back to the council with a consensus on a design alternative, what we want to go with, so that we're poised and ready to go for the design and construction.
Right. And as you mentioned earlier, the schedule is really tight, so I think It is wise to make sure we go through the details and make sure we're on track.
Okay. One of the other things that came out of our last SLOCOG meeting was a presentation on the regional traffic model that I know has come up in our discussion several times, and I was not pleased with what I saw, nor were some of the other city representatives on the board. The projections that the consultant used regarding population and employment figures were just totally unrealistic. And I know that, and I guess the thing that really, you know, caused a bit of irritation was the fact that there was some indication on the part of the consultant that they had coordinated these figures with our staff, and in checking with our staff, I found out that that did not happen. And in fact, Rob Strong had a couple of pretty significant concerns with the same projections, and it's mostly the employment figures that were in that study that were just totally inaccurate and unrealistic. So. Long story short on that issue, we sent them back to the drawing board, and they're going to be back in touch with staff, not just in Arroyo Grande, but the other cities as well, so that we can hopefully have that thing come back and be more realistic in terms of utilizing it for local planning that verges into regional issues. On the Florida side of the house, we've had ongoing discussions about the acquisition of the new facility on South Higuera. This will be a bus maintenance and parking facility, and it will be co-located with Rite-On. So we're trying to work through some of the kinks in that. As far as the sanitation district is concerned, it's operating very well. We've mostly been dealing with a lot of routine maintenance issues, but everything seems to be operating according to the standards required. So that concludes my report, and we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The IWMA has not met this year. I believe our first meeting will be in March. And the EVC, the big item to come out of there right now has gotten some coverage in the newspaper, which is right now they are working with another airline to potentially serve primarily businesses with flights to Sacramento. And there's been a fair amount of coverage on that. Right now they're gauging the interest within the community as far as with the governmental bodies and also with the businesses. It wouldn't be a scheduled airline as such. It would be not a charter either. It's kind of a hybrid. If it were to grow to the point to where there would actually be demand for the everyday, but they're asking for anyone who's interested in that, so that for gauging, to contact either the EBC or to potentially contact Steve at the city, and he can compile a list of interest as well. And that's what I have to report right now. Thank you.
Okay. We'll catch up to Councilmember Costello, who has a employment conflict, and also we'll catch up to Councilmember Fellows, who had a pre-planned vacation, and Councilmember Guthrie.
I'll be short. SCAD doesn't meet till April, and I don't have any report from the JPIA.
Okay, very good. Takes us to item 13, City Council member items. We have none this evening. City manager items? Anything, Steve?
No.
Okay. Council communications, anything? I have one. Received a letter dated February 20th from Supervisor Shajan, and it's short. I'll read it. It's addressed to me. I would like to invite you to appoint a representative from the City of Rio Grande to serve on a task force with the purpose of developing a strategy and recommendations to the Board of Supervisors in considering options for the future of the Oceano Dunes and county-owned property in the Oceano Dunes. Task force meetings will be held every Thursday evening in March, 5:30 to 7:30, at the Oceano Sheriff Substation, and then there's contact information. So the bottom line here is we need a representative, I would think. Steve, you indicated that, you know, our interests may be indirect here, but still it would be good for us to be represented. It says a representative from the City of Arroyo Grande, so I'm not totally convinced that it has to be a council member unless we have one that's willing to do it, but it should be, I would think, a member of staff as well.
I asked them what the other cities were doing. They had not heard from Grover yet. Pismo Beach actually appointed two council members, so just to give you some background.
Okay, well, we might want to clarify and see if it would be appropriate for maybe Rob or somebody from community development to tag along. I have no objections to council members going, obviously, but I would think that we should have some staff involvement. So
I'd like to volunteer from the council. I definitely have a very strong interest in the dunes.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, we can appoint, how about if we appoint the Mayor Pro Tem and see if we can get somebody from staff?
Okay.
Maybe somebody. Yeah. Preferably somebody who doesn't live too far away, if possible. Okay. Any other council communication? Staff communication this evening, Steve?
This evening.
Okay. Item 17, community comments and suggestions. Mr. Ross? No? Are you sure? All right. That'll take us to item 18, adjournment. And once again, as we indicated at the beginning of the meeting, we would like to adjourn this evening's meeting to honor the memory of Miss Billy Swigert. So I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Discussion. We're adjourned.
That might be a record for us. And if I could shut up a little bit more, we would even save 10 minutes.
It's not quite a record.
Yeah.
Oh, record.